This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is the War in Ukraine Daily. I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles. Today, a major Russian warship damaged, Ukraine taking credit for the attack. And we check back in with a Ukrainian woman who had to flee with her family from an area currently controlled by the Russians. We start with what's being called a major blow to Russia's military. The flagship of the country's Black Sea fleet badly damaged, forcing the crew to evacuate. Ukraine saying they did this, Russian officials disputing it. We're learning the ship sank as it was being towed back to port. Stephen Pfeiffer, former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. I spoke with him along with my colleague Rob Archer. Stephen, what do you know about what happened to this warship?
What the Russians said was that there was a fire which then detonated some ammunition on board, but the Russians have not yet explained how that fire broke out. And the Ukrainians say that it actually, what started the fire were hits by two of their Neptune anti-ship missiles.
If this is a big hit on this ship and if it's heavily damaged, this is a big win for the Ukrainians for a couple of reasons, right? Number one, it's the flagship of Russia's Black Sea fleet, so big target to try and take. And number two, this was one of the ships that became famous weeks ago when they told the Ukrainians to surrender and the Ukrainians told them to go blank themselves.
That's correct. No, I think this is a big morale victory for the Ukrainians. And it also, I think, sends a message to the Russians who probably thought that they could be very comfortable in the Black Sea. They had the Ukrainian Navy to the extent that's a very small Navy bottled up. But now I think the Russians may know that they need to be a little bit more careful.
Putin recently appointed a new general to take over the war in Ukraine, and there was reports that they were going to ramp up their attacks in the east. Have we seen any movement on the ground that would indicate this new general is making any changes to their tactics?
Yeah. Well, what happened? I mean, the original Russian objective seemed to be to take Kyiv and occupy perhaps as much as two-thirds of eastern Ukraine. And the Russian military failed to do that. They have now withdrawn all of their forces from near Kyiv, and they appear to be moving some of those forces to reposition for an attack in eastern Ukraine around Donbas. And that is the expectation, is that the next Russian offensive action will be in that area.
We have sent or are sending another $800 million in aid, weapons, ammunition, other security assistance, but the Pentagon saying they are mindful that there is a ticking clock, right? Before this big battle is when the Ukrainians are going to need that stuff. What are the chances that it actually gets there in time?
Well, my understanding is that the Pentagon has put in place some procedures to get stuff fairly quickly to Ukraine. And I'm sure that they are mindful of the timeline and of the need to get things to the Ukrainians as quickly as possible. Now, some of the weapon systems that they announced yesterday may require a bit of training. So that may slow it up a little bit, but I think the Pentagon plan is to try to bring some Ukrainians out of Ukraine, train them so that they can then train other Ukrainians on how to use that equipment.
There are some rumblings that Finland and Sweden may join NATO. How will that upend how Russia is responding to what's going on?
Well, I think this is, again, there have been lots of unintended consequences of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. And it looks like it has persuaded both Finland and Sweden that their security interests are best served by membership in NATO. And so the Russians have been making some threats. Today they threatened that they might have to move nuclear weapons into the Baltic region. There actually are a lot of Russian nuclear weapons already quite close to the Baltic region. But I think from NATO's perspective, the addition of Finland and Sweden, which you know should be a fairly swift process if in fact they do apply, because they check all the boxes: established democracy, credible military capabilities, and civil control of both the military and the security services. But that would also dramatically improve, from NATO's perspective, the security situation around the Baltic region.
Wars don't usually end on the battlefield. They usually end at the negotiating table. How do these two sides get to that table and actually have something concrete that they can both at least be okay with?
Yeah, here's the real problem there, is that if you look at their two positions, there doesn't seem to be much overlap. Now, President Zelensky of Ukraine, for several weeks now, he has been talking about he wants to get into a negotiation. And there have been meetings between Russian and Ukrainian officials. But the Ukrainians have actually put forward some compromise ideas. They've tried to respond to the Russian demand, for example, that Ukraine in the future be a neutral state and give up its NATO ambitions. Unfortunately, however, you've seen no real movement by the Russians. The Russians seem to be sticking with their maximalist demands, so there really isn't much basis for a fruitful negotiation. And it looks like, for now anyway, Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin hope to decide this on the battlefield.
Stephen Pfeiffer, former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, now Brookings Institution and Center for International Security and Cooperation. Short break, and then we check in with a woman who escaped an area currently occupied by the Russians, escaping with her family. Though Russia has fallen short of its goals in the war so far, the troops have managed to take over some parts of Ukraine. Sophia is from one of those areas in southern Ukraine. She and her family had to make an escape as the troops were looking for her dad, who they called an enemy of the Russian people, for serving in the Ukrainian army. I spoke to her along with Rob as well. Sophia, what was that experience like?
Yeah, hello, good day. Thank you for inviting me. Well, actually, we left Berdyansk on March 25th at 6 a.m. and we arrived in Zaporizhia, this is unoccupied territory, on February 27th. Normally, this road takes about 2 hours, but we drove 2 days because the Russian military checkpoints were every 8 to 10 kilometers, I guess it's every 5 miles. So basically, they were very active in checking our car, looking in the trunk, throw stuff under the seats, and if they didn't like something, they were just setting up a gun, threatening to people. I had to pick up. They were checking phones, so I had to took my old kind of like push button phone, so they wouldn't took it from me. And our phones we hide in our clothes, because if they saw anyone's phone with a camera, they just they could check the photos, social networks. And so just before leaving, I deleted all the social networks, WhatsApp, Telegram, Instagram, Facebook, everything, so to keep me safe and to keep my family safe, because God knows what they could find over there. And the Russians were very hard on checking, especially men, and my younger brother, he's 15, but it seems to them that he might be some kind of military man or something. He was forced to undress in order to check if he had any tattoos with the symbols of Ukraine. They actually, forced old men to take their shirts and they have looked through them and check if they have any tattoos or something with Ukrainian symbolic. They are especially afraid of our heroes from Azov regiments, so they were also looking for some of their symbols.
And is that why that they were looking for your dad's earlier on, because he's a war veteran, right? I think we spoke before, maybe about a month ago, and you were concerned for him then.
Yeah, sure. He's now in army, but actually last Friday, Russians came to my father's company, then to my older brother's company. My father has some kind of self-service car wash business. Older brother has one of the largest enterprises in Berdyansk for the production of flour and tiles. We understand that we have local traitors, local pro-Russian people in Berdyansk. Some of them even were in Ukrainian police, unfortunately. And they, told the Russians everything that my father fought Russians in Eastern Ukraine in 2014, 2015. And that he organized pro-Ukrainian rallies in Berdyansk and so on. My brother is less involved in politics, but he also has a strong pro-Ukrainian position. And so when Russians came to his company, they took a handout on his colleagues. They threatened to shoot their children. They also knew, Russians also knew all the information about my brother's colleagues. And they said that my family, we are the enemies of Russian people. So basically, it means that we must be killed. That's why I guess we left just in time, because it's actually quite horrifying. I guess if we left there, they would just kidnap us, and God knows what they would done.
Before you left, had you heard any of the stories that have been circulating about Russian troops systematically rounding up Ukrainian civilians and executing them, and some of the other atrocities that we've heard about? And was that in your mind? And how did you manage to move on dealing with that much fear?
It's pretty hard, but you have to do what you have to do. We know that we are fighting for our country, for our freedom. We have nowhere to go. There is no another Ukraine. I mean, this is what we have to do. We have to survive in order to build a great country. That's what keeps us going. But actually, I have to say it's horrifying now in Berdyansk, because currently Russians are looting businesses. They are sending a lot of production from Berdyansk to Crimea, to the occupied territories of Donetsk and Lugansk regions. They're said to have started raiding people's homes, looting civilians. There's little information now from Berdyansk because they're trying to cut off any connections. But after what happened in Bucha and in Kyiv region, this is just genocide. So people understand that this may happen again in the south Ukrainian regions. I mean, in Berdyansk as well, in Melitopol. We heard that they brought mobile crematoria to Mariupol because they want to hide their war crimes and burn the bodies of civilians. Because after what happened in Bucha and the whole world saw the horror, now this is what they're doing, trying to hide it. And of course, people are scared, and there are no words to describe it. So, yeah.
What do you think happens over the next few days, few weeks, with this major, battle that's expected for the east that could be the big one, basically?
I'm not a military expert. I just know that Russians are they're quite determined to destroy Ukraine, and we don't know what to expect from them. We're just monitoring the situation, trying to analyze and make some decisions. I think that we all know that we're gonna win here in Ukraine. We know that for sure. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of time, and it's a question to Western civilization, to Western politicians, and to Western people as well, because we constantly saying to Europe that we need an embargo for gas, we need them to stop paying Russians. And we need them to arm Ukraine in order. We do not ask you to come here and fight with us. We are ready to fight Russians and to stop this tyranny, to stop this Nazism, racism, whatever you call it, ourselves. But we need your help. And I guess it's just a matter of time. If Western politics, if they make quick decision in arming Ukraine and supporting Ukraine, then I guess we can say that this we can end this in several months. But if we are to ask again and again to give us some help, then I'm afraid it's gonna last much longer. Like it happened in 2014, and we were in a war with Russia for 8 years. It was not just this obvious maybe for someone, but we already fighting Russia for 8 years successfully, and we know we're gonna win because we are fighting for our homes. We're defending our families, our children, and they bring nothing but fear, horror. And this just should not exist.
Sophia, thank you so much for speaking to us again. We're glad you're in a much safer place.
Ukraine's national soccer team had to postpone World Cup qualification matches when Russia invaded in February, but FIFA has announced those games will be played in June. Ukraine plays Scotland June 1st. If they win, they'd move on to play Wales 4 days later with a spot in the World Cup on the line. Ukraine has only made it to the World Cup once before. That was in 2006. This is an Odyssey original. Find us and others on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Stitcher.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.